Hey, everybody, how you doing? My name is Paul, and I'm an alcoholic. How's everybody doing tonight? Yep. And I don't like doing this, but first I want to start, and I just want to thank my friend Rob here, who took the trip up tonight, took a three-hour trip from Connecticut. And Rob has 7 days sober today, and why don't we give him a hand? Rob, I just want to say you are truly the bright spot of my life. Honestly, without the newcomers, what use am I? You know, that's what Alcoholics Anonymous, my perspective, how I see AA today is, it's all about service. It's all about love. It's all about stepping, because I stepped foot in here very selfish, and I took these steps, and, step 12 is becoming love. There's a transformation of life that happens, AA is not just, let me just catch a break, or a survival thing to make it till midnight, because if it is, we're just shortchanging ourselves, it's a transformation of life and becoming a new creation, and the big book describes it as getting reborn, when we take that third step, what happens is, this identity change happens within me. And it's not noticed till relationships sets in, And I'm from New Haven, Connecticut, and that's why I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm not kidding. I did walk into Alcoholics Anonymous a victim, because it was the way I was seeing things. I can tell you today, I don't see myself as that. I see myself as victorious today. I'm not a victim. I've learned who I am, who my identity is through. Doing the work, taking the steps, and having a relationship with God, so my home group is the Elm City Speaker Group. We meet on Wednesday nights, downtown New Haven, 7 p.m., similar format to Feet First, it's a one-hour speaker meeting. We do a little bit of meditation in the beginning and stuff, and again, I want to thank Jeff for having me come down tonight and take the three-hour ride. Jeff did come down a couple months ago and spoke at the group with a powerful message of recovery, and we were grateful for that. I grew up down in New Haven. I am 43 years old. I have a sobriety date of January 27th of 2013. I remember first coming in, I was going to a couple of these topic discussion meetings, and I was talking. I had this spiritual experience, but they said, "Well, he's on a pink cloud, so just you'll see. Pretty soon here, come off the pink cloud." Well, wait, hold on. I mean, it's been like almost 5 years. I'm still on a pink cloud. Like, maybe it's called God's grace, and it's not a pink cloud, So I was able to keep a pink cloud for like coming on 5 years, like. Like, how do we do that? Like, well, we seek out spiritual experiences. Like, I didn't just have, like, one spiritual experience. And I mean, same thing with a drink. You didn't just go have one drink and expect to stay drunk, did you? I mean, it's the same thing with, having spiritual experiences, right? So we kind of seek these things out, And it's so simple. It's like if you ever, like, held a door open for, like, an elderly woman walking out of a store, like, in your soul, like in your heart, like you feel good, like you feel that goodness, like that's a spiritual experience. You know what I mean? So you imagine what we have in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, we have like, all these like newcomers coming in with heartbroken people and stuff. And like, I get to like be a light, like I get to, I have the opportunity, and I'm going to talk about that, throughout my story. So I was a bottom of the barrel alcoholic, put on a lot of masks throughout my life, identities, and at one time I thought I was literally, I thought I was Tony Montana, like for real, like I had a convertible car and I was driving around New Haven with the drop top down and, I was selling some white powder stuff and, I started talking like Tony Montana and stuff like that, like the accent and everything, like I had that thing down pat, And, then that ended, took on another identity. And so a lot of the things that I did throughout my life with addiction and stuff like that, it all stemmed from not knowing who I was, And, you know, I found purpose through Alcoholics Anonymous, through a loving God. So I went to a private parochial school from kindergarten to eighth grade, and was always told, go to confession and go to church on Sunday, and, you know, God's going to punish you, and kneel, stand, you know, and I just went through those motions. I never developed a relationship with God, you know, and never even, like, acknowledged him that he, like, was, like, it was real. Like, for me, it was just, like, whatever, like a fairy tale, you know. And, played soccer as a kid and really enjoyed that. I was a mama's boy growing up. Any mama's boys in here growing up? Come on, I know there's more than that, you know. Come on, let's get honest here, guys. I know your girlfriends are sitting next to you and you don't want to look like you're, but come on now. I was a mama's boy. I remember during summer vacations, you know, she would, bring me to the beach and, you know, I would go fishing and she'd be laying out. And I loved hanging with mom. And going into high school, freshman year, I would attend, like, these nightclubs around the area, and I knew Rob back then, and we would go to these, like, little teen nightclubs and everything, and, so you have to pay your $10 to get in, and back then, I'm looking around the room trying to see if there's anyone my age in here. There's a couple of people, but, you know, during that era, there was, like, this, like, kind of, like, this club disco music that was out. It was, like, freestyle music, you know, with these, like, you know, these hot beats. So, you know, I was kind of like this, like, little dancer and everything. And, like, you know, I used to wear these, like, MC Hammer pants with the Dookie pants, you know. Justin Bieber, you know, tried to bring them things back, but, like, didn't survive that long. So, you know, so during that time, I had my first drink one Friday night. Me and two of my buddies thought it'd be a good idea to step in the bushes on the side of Helen Street School in Hamden, Connecticut. And, with a six-pack of Budweiser, and I had my first can of beer, and I remember tasting it, not liking the taste, but just guzzling it. I think I drank about three-quarters of the can. I was 15 years old, probably 110 pounds, and I can remember being excited, and I felt the heat rush down the back of my neck, and, and then we proceeded to go back to the nightclub, and I remember like yesterday, walking in there and seeing the girls at that time, the girls, I'm 15, and, because I was terrified of, like, what to say or who, you know. I was just the type of kid who kind of hid behind my friends, you know what I mean? Like, I was just shy. But this particular night when I had that drink, I remember I felt like I was, like, the man. Like, I felt like the way I always wanted to, like, feel. You know, I had courage, you know. I knew exactly what to say at the right time, I felt part of. I felt, like, you know, sociable. I felt accepted, see, you know, and so that night, you know, I made the decision, you know, without even knowing it, that I'm going to do this again. Like, I had a fun time. Like, why wouldn't I do it again? It worked. Like, alcohol worked. You know, it did what it was supposed to do. And that's why I kept doing it, until it, became, like, you know, a job and, like, you know, and, you know, it was no longer a party, but I continued to call it, like, I'm partying, you know. And, meanwhile, you know, in and out of treatment centers with black hands and dirty hands and the intake thought I was a car mechanic, but, like, I'm just, like, you know, a junkie, you know, and that's why I have dirty hands. That's how it ended, you know. And, I was fast-forwarding it some years later as it progressed. Before you know it, you know, I'm hanging around and, you know, getting drunk all the time, attending keg parties. And I was, like I said, I was always this small guy, skinny. And I remember I could drink with the best of them. Like, I was one of those guys that, like, you know, starting at, like, 12:30 at night, you know, there'd be a circle there with a funnel battle. Okay, so, like, you know, and, you know, the other dude had a reputation of drinking, and because I'd still be up. My friends who were even bigger than me would be out like a light, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, so, I mean, one night we drank, I think I did 25 funnels in a row, and we, you know, everybody was, like, laughing and clapping. They're laughing at me. I'm thinking they're laughing with me, and we're all having a good time. You know what I mean? I look back now, and they're laughing at us as fools, you know, and, I threw up after 25. I hit the house with it, right? And the guy who I'm having this competition with drinks one more, you know, and starts laughing, and then he starts throwing up. So he beats me out by one, okay? And then what did we do after that? We hugged, we slapped hands, and we went off, you know, on my way, okay? And so, you know, throughout the years, things got, you know, a lot worse than that. Those were the fun days. Listen, I don't regret those days. If I had to do them over again, I probably would, you know. So things ended up being like, dropping out of high school, sophomore year. Always academically being, you know, like earlier years, getting A's and B's and, you know, sometimes a C. So, you know, I was, you know, smart and when I applied myself. But, you know, I was always, you know, cutting class because, you know, going from like, you know, parochial school to like a public school, you know, now you're not just switching class once. Now you can like, you know, skate out of there anytime you want in between classes, you know, and go over to the mountain behind us and, you know, drink and, you know, hang out, whatever. So I remember like yesterday was like the year, it was like we dropped out, me and a couple of buddies, and 2 years goes by, and I'm watching my graduating class graduate in the spring of 92, thinking, oh my gosh, like everyone's graduating. And my buddy's like, yeah, I know. And I was like, what a bummer, right? So, I mean, my fault was, well, you know what? Like, no, guys, like, we're going to graduate too. And they're like, what's he talking about? I'm like, just come on, follow me. So, you know, he followed me behind this path, behind the high school. And I, you know, was a rock about that, you know, 3 feet tall. I stepped on that rock, and, you know, I know this is AA, but, you know, drinking is my main thing. But what I did was I pulled out 3 marijuana joints, and I proceeded to hand out, you know, diplomas, you know, to my, I called them up one by one, and, like, made it official, like, sounded, it was good. And, yeah, the pot was good, too. But, so I kept the fattest one for myself, and honestly, like, okay. And so before you know it, you know, I find myself walking the streets and stuff like that, and, you know, just doing things that I normally wouldn't do for a drink, and, you know, getting arrested, and, you know, for just stupid things, you know. And if anyone knows about, you know, getting arrested for your first charge, you know, you usually get out of jail free card when you stand in front of the judge. Anyone familiar with that? I'm sure there's a few of you out here. So yeah, there you go. We got one back there. And the rest are all just angels. And I'm like, kidding around. So I go in front of the judge and he says, well, you know what? If you go to this treatment center for 18 to 24 months, we will nolly your case, bud. I'm like, wow, where do I sign? So like I signed a dotted line and I went to this place called Daytop, and it was a behavior modification program. Like, just listen to those words, behavior modification. We have to modify your behavior, okay? Now, I know it looked like I had a behavior problem, but the problem was I really had a spiritual problem, okay? And that manifested into behavior problems and mental problems and emotional problems and all those things, right? And so they give these things like haircuts out, you know what I mean? And like, you know, a haircut. Okay, what is it? Well, you know, you do something bad, you know, you knock on a door and they come in. They have you come in and 3 people are sitting there and they're screaming and yelling and they're drilling out the side of their mouth and, you know, and then you leave. And then I wore a sign in there. I wore the sign. It said, I think that I'm a gang. It was a cartoon looking character of a cloud. A pink cloud with some eyeballs on it, you know, and they said, I think that I'm a gangster, but I'm really a cream puff gangster. So I had to wear that around the house for like 2 weeks, you know, and that's what will like get alcoholics sober, like those types of things, you know. You know how many times I ended up in like the principal's office, like throughout like you know junior high school, like you know what I mean, like be a good boy, like you just don't understand, like. So, you know, we'll get to this. You know, we're talking about a threefold illness. We're talking about spiritual, mental, physical. See, and I didn't know this stuff until I, like, got into the book. See, throughout the years, I've been coming to AA since 1996. And, you know, and I just got done telling you I got sober in 2013. And I'm not standing here as a victim, but what I'm saying is I would hear about the steps, but I would attend certain meetings, and I just thought recovery was about, like, you know, using meetings as a remedy, you know. I didn't realize that you know, recovery is about, you know, taking the 12 steps and using, you know, a dependency on God, you know, in order, that's the remedy, You know, I mean, I was just totally like confused about that. And so anyway, so I'm going to speed up to my last run. I'm married today. I have two children, and you know, I have two little girls, 6 and 4 years old, Madeline and Juliana. You know, I got a little tile business going on today and stuff, and life is just great. In the winter of 2012, this is the way it looked, okay? I missed my daughter Madeline's second birthday party, okay? Like, I really, like, honestly, like, was planning on being there. Like, honestly, guys, like, I was, like, it was, like, 5 days away from it, and my wife's like, make sure you make the party. Like, I'm like, of course I'm going to make the party, you know, but 5 days went by, like, you know what I mean? And before you know it, you know, I remember exactly where I was when I realized that today's that little girl's birthday. But guess what, guys? Like, I made her third birthday, her fourth birthday, her fifth birthday, and her sixth birthday. Like, okay, so there's hope, you know, but I did miss the second birthday. You know what I mean? So if there's anyone in here that's missed some birthdays, like I'm standing up here today, I'm bearing witness to, like, okay, doesn't have to stay that way, you know? And so, you know, one night I would come home on a Friday night after being out on a binge, and my wife would say, hey, you know, you've been gone for, like, you know, a week, and, like, you have me stuck home with two babies, and, like, I'm out of here. Have fun, you know? And so, you know, I'd have to stay home with them and like, you know, like, put them to sleep. And, like, I really want to be out getting high and drunk or whatever, you know. So this one particular time, I figured that what I would do was I would, like, come there prepared, like, you know, with a bottle and, like, whatever, some goodies, you know, and some non-conference approved stuff. And so she did the thing. She said, look, she said, you know, I'm out of here. See you later. So I was like, yeah, peace, you know. And so what I did was I made sure to put my daughters to sleep first because, like, I'm a good dad, you know. And as soon as I closed the doors and they fell asleep, I, you know, party on. And before you know it, I mean, the question is, what do you do when you run out of, you know, booze and, you know, some party stuff? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I left my kids home alone and went out to get what I had to get, you know. And one was like 2 years old, or no, she was 18 months old, and the other one was 12 months old. And yeah, I left them in their cribs alone and went and got to do whatever I had to do, and hurried up back. And the first thing I did was, you know, check on them, you know, because that made it all right, you know what I mean? And, you know, then I lived with that guilt and shame for a little while, you know, got to keep you out there forever, you know? That's why the work is so important, so we can get rid of that guilt and shame, that stuff right there. That's really the dis-ease, right? We people think, like, well, I'm a alcoholic because I drank too much. No, you're an alcoholic because you have dis-ease in your soul, bro. Like, you have guilt and shame you've been carrying around, you know, man? Yeah, we need to get rid of that stuff, you know, and flush the toilet. You haven't flushed your toilet in 30 years, you know? You don't leave the bathroom without flushing the toilet, do you? You know what I mean? And so, so the last night that I got drunk, I came home on January 26th. I don't know, it was midnight or something. And I walked in, and it was pitch black. And Leslie, my wife, was, you know, sitting there on the couch. And I remember hearing the swing. My daughter was on a swing, you know, and you can hear, in the house. And you can hear the, you know, going back and forth. And the first thing I'm thinking about is going to the bathroom and, like, you know, taking a shower. Like, I've been gone for, like, a week. You would think, like, the first thing I'm going to do is go kiss my daughter on the cheek. Like, no. Like, the first thing I'm thinking about is going to take a shower. Probably a good idea, because I probably would have woke her up with the way I smelled, you know. But, like, that's something I would never do today. Like, I'm going to kiss my daughter first, you know, if I haven't seen my daughter in 5 days, you know. And so, you know, after that, I went to the bedroom, closed the door, and I remember I sat on the floor, curled up in a ball, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, like, you know, I'm just so broken. I'm like, you know, like, you know, physically, financially, mentally, spiritually, like, I just felt like, just like so lost and like just hopeless, man. Like, I felt so hopeless, you know. And I remember, like, I waited like 3 days to go back to a meeting, because I would always go back to an AA meeting, you know. And I would wait 3 days so that I can have a couple meals and, you know, put a few pounds on so that I can look presentable before I come back to see you guys, you know. And, you know, so when you ask me how you're doing, I say, oh, I'm doing great, man, you know. But, like, really inside, like, I've got this, like, hole that's just so deep. And I'm just hurting inside. And, like I stopped drinking. And, like all of a sudden, like, suicide starts coming into my mind, man, you know. And then you hear people say, well, that's an outside issue. No, it's not. We're talking symptoms of alcoholism. We're talking depression. Yeah, we're talking anxiety, right? Self-esteem issues are all like, you know, are all symptoms of alcoholism, being disconnected from God and standing confident with Him, right? So I get my butt back to a meeting, and this meeting was like an hour and a half meeting, so I heard this guy talk, and I seen him around for a little while. He was known in the area as West Haven Mike. He's a short little Italian-looking guy with these glasses, you know. He got about 20-something years sober, you know. And so at the break time, I went up to him. I said, hey, how you doing, Mike? He said, I'm doing okay. How you doing? I said, I'm not really doing too well, you know, man. I said, he goes, oh, really? He goes, oh. He goes, you know, every time you come back, you always say you're doing all right. So I'm like, well, you know, I'm just looking at my track record. My track record says I relapse 100 times, and I'm going to relapse again. I don't want to relapse right now, but it could be 3 or 4 months, 6 months down the road. It's going to happen. He's like, whoa. He's like, oh, my gosh, I never heard you say that, bud. He's like, so what are you looking for, a sponsor? Like, right away, I'm like, oh, I'm like, I guess. You know, he's like, oh, I'll sponsor you. I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay. He's like, well, you know, if I sponsor you, then, you know, we're going to do you know, the program. We're not going to do my program. We're not going to do your program. We're going to do the program that comes out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm like, what's this guy talking about? I'm like, my program, your program. Like, wait, I thought. He's like, yeah, the program. So I'm like, all right, man. You know, I'm thinking this guy's like, is he serious? Like, you know, you got to be kidding me. Like, what's he up to? What's he want from me? You know? So he says, you know, just come to my house on Saturday at 1 o'clock. He was like, that's my available time if you want to do this work. So I'm like, work? I'm like, well, you know what, man? I work on Saturdays. So he's like, well, you know, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know what to tell you, you know, because that's what I like to do. I get sober, and then I become a workaholic because I don't want to hear what's going on upstairs. So instead of working 40 hours, I'm working 65, 70 hours. Okay, and so what happened was I thought to myself, I was like, whoa, I'm like, what do I have to lose? I'm like, you know, let me just take, you know, let me just go there. I'll go to work earlier instead of showing up at 8, you know, it's, you know, my little business. I'll go from 7 to noon. What's wrong with having like a 5-hour day at work? That's a pretty good day on Saturday, you know. And so I show up at this guy's house, and I had to have 15 days dry at the time, okay. So this is, you know, mid-February 2013, you know, I ring his doorbell, his door's open, the screen's just there, and I'm looking in, and this guy's, he's like breezing, like he's like hitting each room, I don't know what he's doing, but like he's speeding around, he's getting ready for something. So I'm like, I ring the bell, and he goes, come in. I go in this guy's house, and I go in his living room, and I look around at his coffee table, his two end tables, I'm looking around, and I just see all this, like, all this literature everywhere, like I see like big books. I see like, you know, like the reprint of the first edition. I see mini books. I see coins. I see all these other spiritual books. I see like, you know, just little schedules and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like looking around, I'm thinking to myself, like, is this all you do with your life? Don't you have a life? Right? And then I realized later that what he did was he turned it into a lifestyle of helping people, you know? So he comes in, and so he takes his lighter out, and he starts to light this candle above his TV. So I'm like, whoa. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's lighting candles. I'm like, what's this, a ritual? So I start backing away a little bit, and he goes, hey, you want a seltzer? So I go, yeah, all right, I'll take a seltzer. He goes, sit down on the couch. He goes, make yourself at home. He's, like, rubbing his hands together. Like, he's excited. Like, I'm, like, thinking, because I'm not excited. I just came off a run, you know. I got 15 days. So I'm thinking, like, why is this guy so excited? And I found out later that he was excited because he's got a new guy with him. That's why he's excited, you know. So he says, hey, you want to do step one? So I'm like, do step one? I'm like, do step one? I'm like, what do we need, a pen and a paper? He's like, no, you don't need a pen and a paper. He goes, look, he goes, he started to flick open his big book, and there was all these highlighted segments in there. He goes, no. He goes, listen, all you got to do is just read these little highlighted segments with me, and we can just talk a little about it. He goes, we don't want to make it too difficult for you. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And I realized later, like someone like myself, and, I already experienced this, that, if you send me home alone to read the doctor's opinion by myself, I have the attention span of a fly. So what I read, I don't remember. Okay. So what he did was, when he read each segment, he explained it to me what it meant. Because I never heard, the phenomenon of craving at, one of these, open discussion meetings, what is the phenomenon of craving? I never heard that at one of those meetings, So I didn't know, when he started reading the big book to me, honestly, guys, it was like Chinese to me. Okay, so I just thought, if you asked me at that point before I stepped in this guy's house what recovery was, I would tell you, don't drink, go to meetings, 90 meetings in 90 days, and don't pick up no matter what. And I'm not here trying to bash that or come here to correct anybody. I'm just telling you what my experience is, And that's what I thought a program of recovery was. I didn't know. I just didn't know, And so now, he starts going into the God thing and, doing a third step. And then, at that moment, man, I just start getting this visual in my head. I pictured myself being in a small dark room with one door, and all of a sudden that door cracks open, man, and I'll tell you. This white light was coming through each side of the door, and I was curious, so I went and opened the door up, and the light was so bright and white, it blinded me, and I tried to look past the first layer, and that second layer was even brighter and whiter than the first layer, And at that moment, I felt shame. I felt shameful because I didn't acknowledge this loving power all my life. It's been with me. Then I realized I've been living in the dark all my life, and now there's light coming in the room, so I felt hope, right? Because even when I put the drink down, I thought I was doing okay, but I was still in the dark. I still couldn't see? So now I'm excited. I want to come back to AA and tell everybody, and you guys are running from me saying, this guy's got to be on some LSD or something. what's he on now? Okay? So I have this, spiritual awakening and stuff, and, profound, powerful, right? I'm excited, because I've been in, the dark all my life. See, when you come out of the dark and then some light comes on you, man, you can't help but to be excited, So, he starts talking about resentments and everything like that. And I'm like, what does resentments have to do with recovery? So he goes just like this. Okay, you want me to explain that to you? So I'm like, yeah, sure. So he goes, do you believe that God is love? Because that was his one word. When we were going through steps 2 and 3, he had asked me a question. He says, hey, what if you had one word to describe God? One word, bud. What would that be? And mine was light. And he shared with me that his one word was love. That's it. That's his description of God, So he starts to explain to me about these resentments and how important it is to start to do inventory, right? So he says, do you believe that God is love? I said, yeah, I do. He said, okay. He said, do you believe that resentments is anger? So I said, yeah, I do. He says, so I expect to walk a path of love if you have a truckload of anger, bud. So I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I mean, just so simply put. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do, man. I went through, this inventory process a couple of different times. The first time I went through, it was pretty quick. I wasn't doing like 30 resentments. I think I did 6 or 7 big ones, that was right up front. And then about a year later, I went through with another sponsor and did a more thorough one. And then that even shed more light in my life, and I started to realize who I was. I started realizing purpose, destiny, you know, value of myself and, you know, who I was, you know, an identity. Because like I said from the beginning, I just didn't know who I was, you know. You know, it doesn't, you know, us alcoholics, you know, there's so many, like, you know, destructive things throughout my life. It doesn't make me a bad person. It just, I just didn't know. You know, we sell ourselves short with a lack of understanding, you know. You know, if I would have known, you know, I'd be, you know, we see different. Once we, you know, the book describes it as a psychic change, spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, you know, and which, you know, having a psychic change is transformation of life. You know, we get transformed into something new, you know. And so, you know, going through the process of, you know, steps 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, start to locate defect of character. And, you know, the main ones, you know, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. Just did a 10th step with a guy last night, you know, and I hit those directions there and said, okay, bud, listen, when you get up in the morning, this is what you got to watch for. He's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, when I started doing that in the beginning, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting tripped up all day here, you know. But you start to learn how to live by that, you know what I mean? And before you know it, you know, your doing becomes a byproduct of being. You know, just being in love with God, God being in love with you. See, it's not hard, you know, when I wake up in the morning, it's not like, okay, well, I'm going to wake up and be a good boy today, and I'm not going to try to drink, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to drink. Like, it's not like that. Like, I wake up in the morning, and, like, I pray, and I be His. Like, and then so doing is byproduct of that. Like, it's easy to do good. Like, that's the transformation that I see. I keep using that word transformation. Our book uses that word over and over and over again. So a lot of us, you know, including myself, you know, I would come to meetings throughout the years looking to go to meetings to see what I can get. Yeah. That's why I said you're the bright spot of my life, man. You know, I love coming to meetings so that we can stir each other up, inspire one another. That's what it's about. Right? I was talking to a guy the other day. I'm like, you know, well, you know, I go to meetings every day and this, that, and the other. And, well, I'm like, listen, I don't go to meetings every day. He's like, oh, you don't? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you know, I mean, a meeting's only an hour a day. I'm like, did you only drink an hour a day, or were you an all-day drinker? Because I was an all-day drinker, bud, you know? And I'm like, so, you know, so Alcoholics Anonymous. See, we're not just doing Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, Alcoholics Anonymous became my lifestyle. Like it's my lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, the step 12 talks about practicing these principles in our affairs. So it becomes who I am. I don't need to sit. I mean, meetings are important. I'm not, listen, guys, I'm not here tonight, like, saying, you know, no, I love meetings. But, like, I was just telling my buddy, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, we got a good size group too. Like, this is great. Like, I go to my meeting and my home group, and I bring my fishing rod with me. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it's so easy to catch some new fish over there. You know what I mean? And, like, honestly, like ministries and churches, like, they got to go out, like, looking for, like heartbroken people on the streets. Like, we just come to a meeting and, like, one strolls in, you know? And, like, you know, we got another one and another one. And, like, it's just wonderful. Like, that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is about. It's about carrying the message. Guys, if you're anything like me, you know, you've walked in here hopeless, right? Selfish, okay? So step one, we surrender, right? Like, just think about this. So step one, we surrender, right? We realize our life got crazy. Now step 12 is what? Serving. So I surrender to serve. So it's not about me. So the steps between 1 and 12 is just to sharpen you up so that you can do his work. You know what I mean? So what happens is I walk in selfish, and then step 12, we become love. So I become love through His power. So I'm not searching for love. I become love. That's the transformation. So, you know, it's a daily reprieve. So, you know, how do we do that? Well, you know, we live in steps 10, 11, and 12, prayer, meditation, guidance. You know, do I make mistakes? Sure, I do. I still make mistakes. But I have a solution. See, my solution is to go back with the directions, go back to God, you know, and, you know, check myself, inventory, like step 10 says, and then call God first, not call the sponsor. It says, go to God. Yeah, that's the directions, right? Listen, I'm not being mean. I'm being real tonight. Guys, I'm not here to make fun. I'm just telling you what the literature says. So it says that we go to God, right? And then we call someone to discuss it, right? And then next is what? It tells you to go out and make amends if necessary, if you have harmed anybody. So step 10 is like, it's like now I'm like a super stepper. Like I just work like 4 through 9, like within like a snap, so that I can like get by, I can get through this like crazy world. Because like temptation's going to come. You know, the book talks about that. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love like meeting new people. Like I used to not like going to speaker meetings because like I couldn't share. Like that's why I didn't like speaker meetings, because like I wanted to share, like, you know what I mean? And like speaker meetings don't get the opportunity. But now I like when I meet someone that's new, and I like to ask them about themselves and stuff, you know, and get outside of my little you know, plans and designs. Because if anyone here could relate with this, like I'm sure there's everybody in this room can come up to this microphone, this podium, and I bet you everyone in here can share something that's not going their way in their life tonight. Yeah, we can turn this right into a dumping ground in Quakertown, man. Okay, is that cool? Don't get rid of me, please. No, I'm only kidding. Man, I forgot where I was going with that. I'm joking around too much tonight.
In the steps.
Huh?
You're in the steps.
I am in the steps. But guess what? I'm still burnt now. Yeah. See, I told you I make mistakes. So the steps has changed my life. It revolutionized my life. You know, and I'm not just coming to meetings to talk about my problems, you know. I like to come to meetings to see others. And what happens to me is, see, when I'm not involved with step work with helping newcomers, this is where I was going. My problems look like a mountain. Like, huge. Like, you can't move that mountain, man. But, like, the minute you start helping others and you look back at your problems, my problems just shrink to the size of a penny. Like, it's not all about me. So my problems really turn to blessings. Can you imagine that? Like, the perspective just changes like that. My problems they become blessings now. You know, and that's been my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous. That's been my experience with the steps. That's been my experience with a loving God. And if you're in here tonight, you're like, well, you know, I just can't get that connection with God, and like that's Him, and like it just sounds like a fairy tale. Like, no, like wait, like you believed in like a destructive higher power. Like you believed that like that bottle was gonna like do you justice and fix you. So, you know, you have the ability to believe. Like, you have the ability to believe in a destructive higher power. Do you have the ability to believe in a loving higher power that always wants the best for you? How's that? And I answered that question, yeah. And ever since then, what happened, Rob, not only does Rob have 7 days, and he's going to be the next speaker here, okay? And guess what? And Rob took a third step on his first day. Yeah. So what happened, my experience has been, you know, I've took these steps, I took a third step, but if anyone that's been in here that is working these steps and have turned Alcoholics Anonymous into a lifestyle, so we take the third step and it almost sounds like words at times, but really what it is it's a total identity, a 100% identity change. And it's not recognized until a relationship sets in. It's just like any other relationship. You know, if you have a girlfriend and you don't call your girlfriend, what happens? The relationship may not last. She, you know, may drift away and you feel distant now and then you're depressed. You know, it's the same thing with God. We get into a relationship with God. If we're not going to show up for Him and going to pray and stay open-minded, you know, and go through the work, you know, get rid of this garbage that's blocking me from my relationship with God, you know, so we get rid of that stuff, we become willing, you know, and then we have access to this, like, you know, to this loving power. And what happens is the relationship sets in. You know, we show up and we show God, you know, we pray, we meditate, you know, and most of all, we, you know, we're helping others. You know, we're doing His work. You know, there's promises there about that. And guys, you know, I know sometimes maybe it sounds like I'm, you know, coming up here preaching and stuff like that. And, you know, I believe me, I'm coming up here with nothing but love tonight. I usually read something. And you know what? I think I'm just going to read this. This is pretty cool. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So that's been the message that that, you know, the Spirit has brought to me recently, was, you know, it's all about love. You know, all my life, and anyone could relate with this, it's almost like, well, you know, hey, honey, do you, you know, well, I love you. Well, do you love me? Well, tell me, like, I love you. Oh, you do? Say it again. Right? Wait, that's not a good, wait, what'd you say about me? Like, my hair looks good. Like, even though, like, I'm thinning out right here, like, oh, yeah, can you tell me again, like, you love me? So, like, what happens is now I need to be, like, so basically, like, you know, like, for me, it used to be like, well, I'm only doing as good as what people think about me. So now I'm only doing good, or I'm only doing good as my circumstances are going. You know? Rather than being settled by what He did for me, you know, and like, you know, living in His grace, you know, and having a relationship that's, you know, that's built in the love of God, you know, and finding purpose through Him. Like, finding purpose. Like, can anyone relate with this the first time you sponsor somebody? Like, that's so cool. Like, actually, like, I remember when I, like, met up with my first guy, okay? And, like, I remember, like reading through and, like, I was nervous, didn't know what to do. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, like, I feel like I have purpose now. Like, all my life, I never felt like my purpose was to get up and to manipulate, lie, cheat, and steal to get drunk. Like, that was my purpose. That was my lifestyle. So I come to Alcoholics Anonymous and I find this new purpose through, like, a loving God, you know, and I find this new lifestyle that just becomes like being a servant and serving others. You know, it's not about me. You know, it's not about me, like, you know, how good I spoke tonight or, you know, no, it's every, I mean, I give glory to my God, you know, for everything. Like, and so it's about Him. Like I said, it's about, you know, it's about surrendering my will, surrendering step one, you know, and then, like, and then turning into a servant, you know. So, you know, so, you know, I surrender to serve. You know, so the stuff in the middle is just about to get me ready so that I can be, you know, effective for Him. And so I think I drilled step 12 pretty good tonight. And basically all the steps, honestly, guys, like, it's like early and, like, I think I've kind of run out of some stuff to say tonight. You know, I think I'm pretty much all set. And, I just want to thank everyone here tonight. You know, it's been an honor and privilege to come up to Feet First, and, thank you guys. God bless.